Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Please be with those in the attendance. Please be with our residents. Please be with our emergency services. Please be with our military. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. The city of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our entire community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember
Pierce? Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Aldrich?
Here.
Councilmember
Andrusta?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Layman?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Item 5, citizens' participation. We have two signed up. Would y'all like to speak now or on the item?
Well, the item is
Norma, you too?
Yes.
Yes, okay. All right. We will come back to you. Item 6, yes. Consideration of minutes for February 22nd, 2018.
Mayor, I move that we accept the minutes for February 22nd, 2018.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Councilmember Grant, to accept the regular meeting minutes of February 22nd, 2018. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Same.
Abstain.
Item 7, presentation, annual Kirby Police Department contact report in reference to racial profiling. I will call up Chief Brooks.
Good evening, folks. It's March again, and as you know, we're required to make our annual racial profiling report. The report has been filed with Texas Commission on Law Enforcement, and during the month of March, I am required to make a presentation to council. So in your packets, you should have got a copy of our report as well as our comparative analysis. During the year 2017, the Kirby Police Department made a total of 2,032 traffic stops. Of that total number, 1,574 could be classified as racial or ethnic minority as drivers. This goes in line with what we have seen over the past few years. If you look at the examples, I always try to include this year or the immediate past year plus the 2 years prior. And you can see where 2016, we took a little bit of a dip in numbers from the previous year, and then we're back up a little bit. And if you look at it historically over the years since we have been tracking racial profiling, you'll see that our numbers kind of do plus or minus about 5 to 6% every year. If you compare it to the Kirby demographics, officially according to the U.S. Census Bureau, we are 70% minority is the makeup of the bulk of the community. But if you look at the numbers, we typically stop somewhere between 71 to 78% of our stops are minority. That may look concerning on the surface, but if you dig a little bit deeper, of our traffic stops, generally 12 to 13% are actually Kirby residents. The other 89-90% as the years go on are what we call transient traffic. These are people coming through our city, particularly on 78, transient traffic north and south on Ackerman Road. So you've got to kind of bear that in mind when looking at the numbers compared to the Kirby demographics. Included in this, we have always chose to fully report. There's always been an exemption because the bulk of our vehicles are equipped with audio and visual. Just for transparency purposes, we have always chose to file, and that is going to work to our favor because with the introduction of the Sandra Bland Act, now they're taking the exemptions away. So all agencies will always have to fully report. And while other agencies are scrambling to get their reporting system up to that standard, we've been at that standard for a number of years. And anticipation, 6 months ago, Lieutenant Lehman and I started looking at our racial profiling, the way we do it, and we have, in trying to anticipate the state's requirements over the year, we are tracking additional numbers now. For instance, comparing individual stats per officer, where it's only ever been required to be the department as a whole. So now we're breaking it down even further in anticipation that this is going to be something that's required over the next few years. So for the purpose of brevity and keep my presentation short, included in your packet was a breakdown of anything. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. The big note to bring out is that during this year, as in with previous years, we have not received any complaints from any citizens claiming racial profiling by any of the officers. So unless you all have any questions for me this evening, that concludes my presentation.
Thank you. Great job, Chief. Thank you. Item 7B, introduction of new employees. We'll turn this over to Gilbert.
Mayor Pierce, Council, I'd like to introduce you to Mr. Ruben Mendoza. He has an extensive amount of experience in the water and wastewater industry, and he also holds a C distribution license. And this right here is Michael Siniceros as well. He has an extensive background in water and wastewater and holds a C distribution and a class A CDL license. They came in recently. Ruben just completed his 3 months. Mike's on his second month.
Awesome. Well, welcome.
Welcome to Kirby.
Great additions to the team. Very happy to have them.
Glad. And this makes you fully staff now?
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. Great job. Thank you. Welcome to Kirby. We absolutely will. Whenever he gets here, just somebody mention. Okay. Item 8A, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2018-830, designating the official city newspaper for publication. This would be the second reading. I entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion. We accept the Herald newspaper to be our advertising paper. Ordinance 2018-830, designating the official newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby.
We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Lehman.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Wilson to accept ordinance number O-2018-830. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Yes. Right. The Northeast Herald will be is designated as our official newspaper. At this time, I will skip to item 8E, discussion and possible action on progress of construction activity on 2017 water mains replacement project. Mark, Gilbert, whichever one wants to go first.
Thank you for doing that. I've got family coming in, and I've got to pick them up from the airport. I appreciate you moving that up. On the 26th of February, with Public Works Director and the City Manager, we went out to Happiness Lane to observe the pavement situation for the work that's been done along Happiness. No specific areas or addresses were provided to me, so we took pictures in about five different places up the length of the road. And I took those back to the office and found some pre-construction pictures I had up and down that road and tried to match them up as best I could. Also, another avenue is looking at Google Maps. Google Earth also has very recent pictures of the pavement. And Comparing the pictures pre-construction to post-construction, there was no significant increase of any cracks, either size or location, that we were able to identify in those five areas. I prepared a letter. Tried to identify areas that, looking at it, appeared to have some severe distress. Going back, looking through the pictures, there was already severe distress in that area. There's some areas where the contractor's trench is a little bit wider. And if you go back to the previous pictures, I try to show at least one of those where that was an area where the pavement was showing what we would call alligator cracking, which is failure of the subgrade as it gets old and water gets in there. It gradually loses strength and you get what starts out as alligator cracking. Eventually, it will turn into potholes unless we address it. Before and after pictures also showed significant ponding on the other side of the road. Pre-construction and post-construction, that ponding's still there. Pre-construction, it showed significant ponding on the side where we had construction, and post-construction showed 90% of that was gone. And there are some small areas of ponding inside some driveways where asphalt had been extended up previously, and the contractor's addressing that. So reviewing the means and methods that they did, they used rubber tires on their construction vehicles. So you have choice of steel treads or rubber tires or rubber treads to protect the pavement. And so they did the right thing. They did their due diligence as far as using the right kind of equipment on there. Often material is stored on the pavement. And then when they scoop it up, there are, if they don't do good care, you'll see gouges in the pavement due to the scraping of the soil or fill or spoil material they have left there. And I, during my walkthrough, I did not notice any place where that was present. So they've taken good care about not scraping up the pavement with their equipment. So overall, I was impressed with the care they've taken. And, a comparison just indicated that there was no adverse impact to that existing pavement that I could identify, based on what I had seen and observed.
So when, what is the projection date now that it will be completely finished and that the crews will be gone?
I believe there was some water shutdown issue, and we've been dry, so they should, I think Gilbert can address that.
Yeah, we had a slow leak on our old main and the existing infrastructure that we're digging up, and we have a shutdown that we needed to make, so we're working on that shutdown, and we should have, the asphalt should be completed there pretty soon, probably by tomorrow or Monday, and he has had everybody out there doing the topsoil, raising the meter boxes, cleaning up on these past couple of days. So I haven't gotten an official word from Mr. Heath yet as to when it would be done. However, my expectation would be either by tomorrow or Monday.
Okay, I would like for you to go back to one of our earlier conversations about the sand being impacted inside the water meters and the fact what the process, why that was there, and what was the process, the end result, that whole part of
why it. The sand was there. The sand was there because they were using it as fill material. They were preventing a trip hazard for anybody that would be walking there. So they used a temporary sand material there. However, they go back, they take out the 6 inches, and they put topsoil to where sod and everything would grow. They've taken sod out there as well and put grass in some of the areas, not all, but that's where they put it there as a safety precaution, and they're going back out and digging it up as per planned for 6 inches.
But that's what I'm saying. So the sand was supposed to have been removed from the meter boxes.
From around the meter boxes, yes. If the sand is inside of the meter box, it's following the service lineup. If it's at the bottom of the meter box, it's fine. If the meter box covered fully with sand, then they need to take that out. But there is sand. The service line is laid with sand to protect the copper. There's an electrolysis in the ground.
The only reason I'm going back to that is because I remember you making a comment that said that if that sand was inside those water meters, that it would work into the internal parts and it would start failing.
Well, what it was is if they were covered. If the meters were covered with sand, then that could be an issue eventually, and it could prevent us from having, or it could cause us to have difficulty when we're reading the meters out there or we're doing work. But if as long as it's up to the bottom of the curb stop and at the bottom of the meter, it's fine. If as long as it's not covering the entire meter.
So if it's inside the meter boxes, that's fine.
Yes, as long as it's not covering the meter inside of the meter box. So if the meter's sitting on top of the sand,
right,
fine. If it's covered in sand, no. It needs to be corrected.
And the sand was supposed to be removed out of the yards, or the topsoil was just supposed to be placed on top of it?
They got the sand 6 inches at least and put 6 inches of topsoil per plan.
And you're going to go check to see that the 6 inches was there?
Yeah.
No, I know that they've started. I'm just asking about this whole 6 inches and...
Yeah, of course. Yes, yes, ma'am. I'll be out there to check that. I mean, if they were to put topsoil just on top of the sand, you'd notice it pretty quick.
You do notice it really fast.
So, yes, ma'am, I'll be out there to check.
So, projection date for when all crews are going to be gone?
I would call it Monday.
Okay, Monday the 12th?
Yes.
Even if spring break, we're good since it's not technically a holiday?
Yeah, we're good. We should be all right. I mean, I haven't got an official date, but from what I see and from what I can project, they should be all right by the 12th.
I just know that I drove by there, and by Crest, it's a lot of holes still going, even towards the other streets, where the water is just still ponding there.
Up on the corner, by the fire hydrant?
Yeah, kind of by the fire hydrant.
That particular area on Crest and Happiness, they're saving that to the last bit because that's where there's a lot of traffic and a lot of trucks, so they want to make sure that when they stabilize the area, put the asphalt, that it won't fail later on. So that's the last thing they're going to do there as far as asphalt.
You're talking about that trench right there at Crest? Okay.
Yeah, I've been in contact with them about that, and I've had a couple concerns that I brought to the company, to San Antonio Contractors, or Constructors.
Because going over it, it looks like it's deep. I thought my car was going to bottom out.
Mm-hmm. On the front of it, right? Yeah. Well, I drive over there pretty much every day, check it out, and I go over it. I've taken a couple steps outside, looked at it, and it looks like it, but it should be okay here pretty soon. They have that extra little hump on there because of the traffic.
Other questions?
Well, hold on. I have another one. So the contractor on each driveway, they went up a little bit on each driveway, right?
With the asphalt?
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily
yet.
Each driveway. The ones that needed it. That's the point.
They're not required to shoot a level, but they try to eyeball it and bring it back to the original. But
well, the ones I saw tonight... It looks very, very sloppy. If I was that resident, I wouldn't be very happy, because that makes their home look bad. I wouldn't want that mess on my driveway. I would want it looking neat, or at least cleaned up. See if you can get them to kind of, make it look neater on the on our residents' driveways.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm done.
Anything else to say? All right, thank you.
Our final employee to introduce us.
Okay, so we will go back to our introduction of new employees. Chief Boyce.
Okay, back in December, we were authorized to hire a new officer. We started the search, and what we ended up doing was bringing on Officer Zachary Pinckney. Officer Pinckney's actually been with us as a reserve officer since about June. He's coming to us from Bexar County Precinct 4. He's been a certified law enforcement officer for 11 years? A little over 9 years, I'm sorry. He recently obtained his intermediate certification, so we're expecting, because he has been in training with us for a period of time, his experience level to get him on the street and working in much sooner. So that fills out our last available full-time officer position.
Thank you. Welcome.
Welcome.
All right. item 8B, discussion and possible action on traffic control on Seguin Road and Ackerman Road.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Lieutenant O'Callaghan. I'm with the Judson ISD Police Department. Glad to be here tonight.
Welcome. Welcome.
This item was brought by Councilmember Pierce. Would you like to address?
Yes. Lieutenant, thank you for coming out.
Absolutely.
I just had a couple of questions. I've been passing by usually in the mornings on either Ackerman Road or on Seguin Road. Seguin Road, not too bad with traffic, with the parents coming in, dropping the children off. On Ackerman Road, right to where you get to the access point where Boatman is, and the ice house that is on the left-hand side, depending on if you're going north or
right.
south,
mm-hmm.
you're getting drivers and everything else that are trying to go around the other drivers that are sitting there in the turning lane, and then they start blocking the traffic that's going northbound on Ackerman Road.
Okay.
I've noticed where people turn in and go down, and I think it's the last street is Sir Roberts. Maybe it's not, but the last street, you'll have people coming out of there trying to bypass the school zone, which I would understand, but we're getting more and more cars that are trying to go around where you've got people that are waiting in line to move forward. They're leaving a gap there, so maybe the people from the apartment complex or the sign that's right there can actually cross the street and get out, but then you're getting people that are cutting them off and then hanging up in both lanes. So I just wanted to know, do you guys have a traffic control policy set in place for when things start like happening like this? Because I have seen some Judson ISD officers there directing traffic in the morning a long time back, and
what we have is Judson ISD Police Department is unique in its mission. It's quite different than municipal policing and things of that nature. How we have it set up is we have patrol districts. Judson ISD is 55 square miles. We run all the way from Tenant Foster to TPC Parkway and everything in between. We have 21 elementary schools, and we have one officer assigned to approximately 4 or 5 of those schools. We have them zoned in different districts, A, B, C, and D. And so the district officers, you know, try to come out and assist with traffic when they can, but the district officers also are responsible for 4 or 5 other schools in the area. What we can do is, and another thing that really kind of limits what we can do here, especially since we're talking about Hopkins, is the Judson ISD has a 2-mile policy to where there's no buses to transport students if you live within 2 miles of the school. So therefore, most of your citizens don't live outside of 2 miles, so there's a lot of moms and dads coming in dropping their children off, and the children that are walking and everything else.
That person is blocking the traffic off.
Right.
You've got now a vehicle that's going to go around that, which is now
right.
getting into an area where you're going to have children walking to get to the crossing guard so they can get across the street and get to the school. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I know certain things that are going on, being your officers, one for what you just stated, five
campuses, yes, sir.
We're trying to increase our police department. We're now having to put one of our officers there for something that I think and feel that Judson ISD themselves should be covering, because you just said 55 mile area coverage. That's, to me, that's a lot of tax base, and that's what I'm looking at.
I don't have any control of hiring or firing. And again, it's unique. Our mission is unique. We have a bulk or majority of our officers that are actually stationed on secondary, middle school and high school campuses. That's where most of our focus is. As far as the individuals, what we can try to assist, you know, and we work very well with the city of Kirby. We have very good open lines of communication. Matter of fact, Lieutenant Lehman and I sat next to each other in the police academy, so we go way, 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 way back. Way back. So what yes, yes. What I can try to do is we can direct the district officer to come out and see if he can assess what's going on with this area and see if he can devote a little bit of time to this particular issue. Again, I can't guarantee that he's going to be there every day out there directing traffic. He's got other, yes. And if we have an officer sick, well, then he goes from 4 schools to, you know, 8 to 10 schools. Things of that nature and other things that might come up in the district. So I can definitely talk to the district officer who is assigned to Hopkins and see if he can. Is it more morning time that you're concerned about or release?
Morning time is what I've been right. seeing the most with the okay. traffic. In the afternoon, I mean, granted, we did have some construction vehicles that were coming through, gravel trucks and whatnot, and that seemed to have subsided because they're being done with what they were doing. So I haven't seen that too much, but it's usually the morning hours. Like I said, when you get the one vehicle stopped, if there's kids walking, they're cutting through a parking lot of the right. ice house that's sitting there.
Right.
And then, I mean, and we've already had one incident not too long ago with a child in a parking lot.
Maybe. Correct.
Hurt by a vehicle.
So yeah, we will. I can direct our district officer to take a look and see. Again,
that.
Again, he can't be there every day, but you know, I'll make sure that he's out there and seeing if he can assist Kirby PD with helping move along traffic. Both of us working together, I'm sure we can solve this.
Yes, sir. And I do appreciate you coming here tonight, explaining and working with our police department. I mean, that should be a very tight knit.
Yes.
Because I mean, it's our citizens here. And you're
right. Well, they're all of our citizens.
Yes,
sir.
But it's
yes,
our
sir.
Children that are at those schools too.
Yes, sir.
And I'm just looking after the children, the parents, somebody getting upset because somebody else was blocking them off. I mean, I sat there 4 cars back, just wondering, and I've got somebody creeping over into the grass area, trying to get around where I'm going to go around me, and I'm kind of now starting to block them off.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. It's a concern that's brought up because it's safe for the children. They're impeding the traffic flow. There's all these different things that are going on. So yeah, if you would please kind of just take that back.
Sure, absolutely.
If something can be assessed.
Yes, I will definitely talk to the district officer and make sure he comes by, you know, once or twice a week to try to at least help with that. Absolutely.
If there's anything that you need from me.
Oh, absolutely.
Council, please don't hesitate. Give us
all
a
right.
shout. Thank you again, sir.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for your
Thank
time,
you.
Sir.
Absolutely.
Chief, do you have any comments to that? I didn't want to. Okay.
Nothing right. I can add to what he's already said.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
AC. Discussion and possible action regarding the Kirby Senior Center request to utilize the official city seal. Do you want to speak now or?
Good evening, Council, and you can go first.
No, that's no.
You can
that's
go,
what
you
I
go
just
ahead.
Didn't know. He Sid was signed up first. I just want to make sure that.
Yes.
Okay.
I never paid no attention to Sid. But anyways, good evening, Council, Mayor. The city logo has been used at the center for quite some time, given permission by the previous Mayor Timothy Wilson. And the modifications of the wording was done per guidance of the current city secretary. There was no letter saying giving us permission or anything. It was just, you know, per conversation. If it is the wish of this council to revoke authorization, I would like authorization to use up the documents that we have on hand.
City Council, and Mayor. We have business cards, we have our payroll checks, we have our letterhead for envelopes, still have this seal. It is in the same design as the City of Kirby, and that was originally done because of the close association of the Kirby Senior Center with the city. But we were directed to change the wording so it doesn't say City of. We are a separate entity, and so it's Kirby Senior Center is the wording. We're here to request continued use of the design. If there's any further changes you would like to it, we can accommodate that. We've already been talking about amongst our board members some changes of our own. Have any questions about that? We'll be more than happy to field those.
Was it Timothy Wilson that told you, or was it Tim Bolda that said it?
Well, it was both, but mostly I had asked the previous mayor if it was okay to use the city logo, and he said the design. And he said, well, you should ask the city secretary, and I said, okay. Like I said, nothing was handwriting or anything, so
what do you mean,
I
the city
did.
Manager.
City manager was Tim Bolta. Yes. It was mentioned.
Yeah, not the secretary, but the manager.
Right. Yep. I'm sorry. But
do I have a copy of your logo at all?
Sorry?
Do you have a copy of the logo that you're using?
Business card?
It's a card. It's a business. Yes.
Well, is that all y'all are really trying to accommodate is the letterhead and the envelopes that's got the Kirby seal on it?
That is one of the issues and potentially a monetary issue if we're required to change that.
How many do you have left? Do you think a year's supply? Or?
On checks, we just ordered, so we've got quite a few on checks and envelopes.
Have we ever incorporated the seal?
I don't think we've incorporated it. It's the corporate seal. I mean, it's part of the charter.
Like the city of San Antonio, theirs is, what is it called? It's registered.
Like a trademark.
Copy? Yeah, copy mark, trademark. That trademark is what I'm going to say.
No, it's not.
Oh, well, you need to do that. We need to do that.
That's something else. That, however, I do want to, in a way, thank the city because we are getting back into our social media aspect of getting the word out and communication with all the members of our center, and it got us to talking about our logo, and we came up, and if I can we came up with these adjustments.
Thank you, Sid.
To the logo.
I don't like the middle one. The pink one.
That would separate it for no other way than the color, because the blue is associated with the city. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry. That, in fact, we're probably going to be doing other colors as well, just to further separate us, not, and that's probably a bad choice of words there, to differentiate us from the government, the establishment of the city and the city council. And that would add a little more color to our Facebook page. We may stick with, just for monetary purposes, we'll probably stick with just one color if we go to that for our documents, the business cards, the letterhead, and the paychecks. And we can discuss, we can talk about that amongst our board. This has not been finalized because We wanted to get more input from the city before we made any final decisions ourselves as far as the board is concerned.
On the vans, is that the seal? So what is the van? What is the
only
vans?
Seal that was the small van that they turned over to the, that's the only seal that's on there. That was there before.
When it was turned over to the center.
But that's actually the city seal, not an altered.
That was done by the city whenever they gave it to us.
Right, okay.
The other buses don't carry that.
Okay.
And is that bus used all the time now still?
Or? The small one to pick up our seniors when they need a ride. Other than that,
it stays at the center.
It stays there at the center.
So basically, our request is to continue using the design, or a similar design, but we can adjust the colors.
Personally, if the Kirby of the regular seal for the city is on the vans,
just one.
No, just that one.
Just that one.
Okay, and that's the old van.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As long as the seal for the city of Kirby isn't on the vans, I don't see anything wrong with y'all picking out one of these here and using that logo for yourself. Now, I can understand the cost that you just inherited on redoing all your letterheads and envelopes. I don't know what that cost you. But, I mean, what I read in the briefs that I got was, in case something happened, that the deep pockets would be coming back to the city because it's got the city's logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the vans don't have the logo on it.
Just one.
Yeah, it's I understand local. That. You know, and if it's worth changing that one logo or you know, some way, shape, or form, I don't see no reason why you can't end up using the letterheads and envelopes until you run out of them and then redo them all this way. That's my feeling.
Is that your motion?
Huh?
Is that your motion?
Well, I'll make a motion that way, yeah. Let them use their letterheads and their envelopes so that they can use them up. They don't waste all that money.
Okay.
And then if they want to put a logo on the vans, y'all pick out your logo because that's y'all's prerogative, and put that logo on the vans.
All right. We have a motion by Mayor
Second.
Pro Tem Lehman, seconded by Councilmember Autridge. All right. Is there any further discussion? Okay, will our city secretary please call roll?
Mayor Pro Tem Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
No.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Aldrich?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes.
Thank you
so much.
Can you let us know when you're changing your letterheads?
We will.
Just before we know.
And so the van, see, the one that has the seal, the actual corporate seal, that will be changed to the logo when y'all get it?
We can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all can change that to what seal y'all pick out.
And then that way it removes the actual city seal from your van so that you have your own identity as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Item 8D. Review and discussion ordinance number O-2012-727, establishing a procedure for certain underground utility construction within the city of Kirby, Texas, and providing penalties for violations thereof. This ordinance was discussed by council on January 11th, 2018, and our staff was asked to bring back suggestions for the revisions. So I will turn it over to Gilbert. Okay.
Good evening again, Mayor, Council. I had made a couple suggestions going back. This goes to Ben's Engelman's, where we had a contractor working there. They weren't backfilling properly, and they weren't, the area was not safe. So went ahead and wrote up some guidelines on there to follow proper backfilling procedures and acquiring a permit for any type of work that's done in the right-of-way, being 90 days, 270 days, I'm sorry, 90 days, 180 days, 180 days, 270 days, and then no more, 271 days, and no more than a year. Different costs for each one, with an option to extend the permit if the whoever's doing construction says it's going to go longer than 90 days. Well, they can purchase an extension at one time. And any type of fees that would be acquired, we had if we were to assign violations for it, then it would go to court. And the best way we believe that it would go is to have them, I would go inspect the job or talk to the contractor. I would be in charge of that, and if they were to have any type of violations, I would notify them, stop the job, have them come in and get another permit. And also, so those, part of the process on that is I'm going to be going, and once they get the permit, and I'll keep track of the days that are on there, but also if they're doing underground utilities, they're digging, requiring proper backfilling procedures, also requiring them to call myself or one of my employees, mostly myself, to go out there, verify that they're doing proper backfills. Now, this is very important, especially in the street, so I can make sure that they're compacting everything and making sure that our streets are, the integrity of our streets are kept. So we're doing a lot of work out here. We want to keep our streets good. We don't want to have any trench downs out there. So if any utility work that is done in our right-of-way is going to be inspected by myself. Flat work, the forms, anything that they do on those guys, on that is going to be inspected by myself also. And if they're not up to our standards, then the job will be stopped. So those are some of the things that I want to look at that we suggested to make sure that we keep the integrity of our streets, our concrete, our right-of-way. You know, we're doing a lot of work to keep it nice. We want to keep it that way. So if a contractor were to come in and I see any violations or anything, public safety is one of them as well, and backfill depth, we go and cut some of the areas in the alleys, and they have just telephone lines there. You know, I'm requiring them to go at least 18 inches, so none of those lines are run over by any of the machines or any of our mowers. So some of those are the guidelines and the suggestions that I've had. You know, proper backfill, square cutting. You know, if there's a piece of concrete there, you dig it out, comes down. Well, if I need you to go a little bit further and take out a couple planks to make it even and nice and keep the integrity of our sidewalks, then we're going to do it. So everything there is, of course, with public safety in mind. Proper street channelization and proper, you know, notification to our public was also put there. So, and I'll be inspecting those if we can get it passed, you know, once the official wording's done on that. So,
I was going to ask that we haven't incorporated that yet in writing, right?
No, tonight it has all of those suggestions included for you all to let us know whether you're good with it as written. Then we can bring it back for the first and second reading.
What he's got, I don't have any problem with it. That's exactly where we want to go with that. Maintain the integrity of backfilling the whole nine yards, yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we're not monitoring what, you know, construction companies are doing in our city, you know, contractors sometimes are going to go back, throw it back in. Nobody's watching. We're going to get in and out quick. So
they sure do.
We're going to make sure that we keep an eye on the contractors that are doing work that, you know, private work and anything like that. So
the best thing to do then is put this now into writing, and, you know, bring it forward so that we can look at each point.
It's right here. It's in our packet.
And this is just to prevent something like we had on Ben's Engelman again. Okay. Anybody that's working in our right-of-way, any utility, we're going to have, you know, guidelines for them to follow, and I'll be inspecting those. So they'll be required to call me upon backfill. Before they cover the pipe, I'll watch their backfill, what they do, make sure they compact it. Also, whenever they set their forms and before they pour, I'm going to require flat work inspections, kind of like the guidelines of the city of San Antonio has out there to maintain the integrity of the city.
Okay. But you're comfortable with this?
Yes.
With additions
because it has discussion on possible action. We already have been having.
But we're talking about those additions, correct?
Right.
And then y'all bring it back?
Well, the ordinance is written.
Right.
It's ready for us to bring back unless you want to make changes. But the item tonight is the current ordinance. It's the 2012-727. So
right.
If we bring this back, we'll have to give it a current ordinance number and make it our first reading and second reading.
That's what we need to do.
Yep.
Yep.
So we can do that next 2 meetings.
Okay.
That'll work. So we need to table this. So that comes forward. We're not going to take action. No action.
But if you're comfortable with it as written, we will bring it back.
And I just, and since Councilmember Grant brought this up, I want to make sure that you're comfortable with all of the things that he stated.
Yeah, because we talked about it. Yeah.
That was your.
Yes.
The only action we need to take right now is to have it prepared so we can bring it back.
Correct. And we can just bring it back. If everybody is comfortable with it, we'll bring it back as written for a first reading.
Then you have the incorporation of the fees and those things too.
Right. Those fees that are listed. So
then we'll have a chance to look at it to make sure again.
Right.
Right. Y'all comfortable with that?
Sure.
Okay. So then we'll bring it back once those revisions are made, then if you'll bring it back. Is it feasible to say the next, like, April?
We can bring it back next
week. Okay. I just didn't know if Mark needed to look at it or.
Do you have any changes between now and then? Okay. So we can approve them that night.
All right. Then if we can put it back on the March 22nd agenda, then that way it gets put in place, especially with other projects coming up.
What's going to get started, you bet.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. That's good.
Further discussion? Nothing? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. All right. We already did 8E earlier, so we will move to 8F, discussion and possible action on the city of Kirby Personnel Policies Manual, Section 1.17, the tobacco policy. All right. Make it flip pages. All right. All right, Councilmember Pierce asked for this to be on the agenda.
Yes. We got our weekly updates. On February 23rd, I noticed that a policy was put in place. Well, the only thing I have is the very first thing in the personnel policy manual is the authority. And I'm just going to read this real quick. These policies are adopted by the city council. And any deletion, amendments, revisions, or additions to this policy must be approved by council. These policies completely replace and supersede any and all personnel policies previously adopted individually are set as policies by city council. And then, like I said, to me it has nothing to do with the tobacco. Even underneath that was sent, it says changes to these policies and employee suggestions upon the approval of city council. After looking at this, I found out that even before February 12th, she had also tried to put this policy in place again, too. But we were never advised of that. So this, to me, making this policy that we didn't agree upon or disagree upon, there is no policy that was put in place unless we approve it or disapprove it.
June, where we started looking at immediate revisions to the personnel policies that we were going to bring to council. And in here it also talks about department heads being able to establish departmental rules and regulations.
I have no problem with department heads establishing rules and regulations.
Okay.
What I have is usurping of authority of city council.
Okay.
That's
right.
My problem.
I take responsibility for that. And again, the reason that I took the action that I did, or at least attempted to, is because some departmental rules have been established as it relates to the tobacco policy. So what I did was take those departmental policies and implement them across the board to make it fair and consistent. But I was wrong, because it should have come to
stand by my recommendation, and if we can bring it back in the appropriate way, and when we're doing other policy revisions, or make some other suggestions tonight. But I do still feel like this policy needs to be revised because of several reasons.
Are there several reasons that they confirm to the environmental safety and health of the employees?
Well,
or is it just some recent instances that have happened that you've noticed? And
it's a combination of both. It's, we research other cities, and so there are cities much larger than us, like San Antonio, who have a completely smoke-free environment and workplace for safety and health reasons. There are cities who have some designated smoking areas. So I do feel like some of those incidences are reasons that we need to revise.
Real quick, if I understand this, the two of the supervisors here, they can put in place their own policy and definition for their people, correct?
They can establish departmental rules as long
okay,
as they
so
policy, yes.
until we get to the point to where we amend this and or bring things forward. With the situations that are going on, I think that, from what I understand, that the two supervisors should implement their own definitions of the policy and whatever they want to put in place until such time as we amend the policy procedures manual. But it's up to you two guys to do this yourselves. Chief?
They've already established their departmental.
Okay, well, see, that's where I'm confused in. So, then you put this together to.
Right.
Oh, I got you. See, I missed that part.
Consistent for all employees, because in my view.
Oh, I agree with what you're saying. You know, I see what you're doing, but yeah, it needs to be from them and their department. And then if you want to bring that permanently, then don't implement it. Bring it to it and ask for the implementation.
Right. And like I said, I take responsibility for not doing it that way. But, you know, again, at the time, the incidents that occurred and the fact that we had several issues with it and citizen complaints, I thought, okay, it's more fair to make it apply to all employees than to one department over another.
Well, I only see one citizen complaint here.
But I think, I mean, the issue here is because the reason that I specifically asked for the additional information is because if somebody decided to do something right now, all the information is in place. Since the employee guide is coming back, I mean, this can be addressed then. It can be addressed now. All the information is there. So, like I said, that's it. I will clear the air right now, though. I am going to absolutely say this on record. I am absolutely appalled at the fact that people think that my intelligence level isn't so that I cannot read manuals, read policies, that somebody would actually think that somebody needed to come forth to me to tell me, hey, our bosses won't let us smoke. So I'm going to clear the air right now that I am not above reading. I can read policy, I can read procedures. So I've been addressed twice now with someone indicating that somebody has come to me and I want it to stop. If anybody on this council wants to ask any employee in our city something specific to anything that's going on, the charter gives us the right to. I have not gone to ask anybody about this procedure. I was actually received a February 23rd update just like everybody else. So I just want to make it clear that I am tired of that rhetoric coming back to me, and I will say it on record. I am not an idiot. I absolutely can read, and I can absolutely interpret what policy means. So if we want to bring that back, we can, unless y'all want to.
I think the best thing is to handle it now.
I personally think if the department heads have ideas that they're going to bring, I say that we do it all as a group, because otherwise we're going to piecemeal all this together.
Okay.
The department heads, if anybody read the departmental policies, they're pretty stringent, and I'm confident in our chiefs and Gilbert and the city manager for that fact. If she wants to instigate something, you know, implement something in her group, and the chiefs want to implement their departments for what have you, that's their business. But it is not our place to, in my opinion, to supersede what they want. And if they have ideas that they want to bring to the city manager, bring to the council, and we vote on it all together, and we have discussion then as a group so that we're, again, not piecemealing it, mm-hmm. I'm all for that. I think that, like I said, I've read the information that was provided from the chiefs, and what they do in their department is really up to them, and the policy says that it's up to them.
And can take action accordingly. I mean, if you put a policy in place for your people, each one of y'all, and it's violated directly, then just address it directly with however you're going to handle it. Write up whatever you want to do. Fishing days, however you want to handle it. I do know that here, and here's the thing again, and a lot of things, you know, and if I was jumping the gun, I apologize. I mean, I was told that while this building caught on fire, that while they were directing traffic, that they're standing there smoking. That's a little much. Is that not a correct statement? Was it brought to your attention also, Chief?
Yes, sir.
And well, you know, I mean, come on, guys, you hear the fire and you're smoking?
I myself was appalled, sir.
I mean, so what I'm saying is then, you guys get the paycheck to be the managers, okay? Put your policies in place and do it. I mean, it's just that simple. I mean, I'm a non-smoker, I quit. I live with a wife that has COPD because she didn't quit. And if we're going to maintain the safety of our people, also, by the way, vaping is the Surgeon General considers it the same. Same hazard, same everything.
All of that is mentioned in these two.
Yeah.
So they didn't.
Yeah. Well, I know that he did one particular.
But when the employee was brought to your attention, was the corrective action taken?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So that's what I'm saying.
No, and I agree. I see now.
They're capable of doing what they need to do.
Exactly.
And that's what I said. This has, and I honestly could care less about what the department heads are doing for their department.
Right.
This was brought about by Councilmember Pierce because when we all received that update.
I see what you're saying.
The policy in itself. So we're sitting here talking about policy. So I'm going to say this is departmental policy. The departmental policy that the city council put in place was violated.
Right. I've got you exactly
so,
what you're saying.
Again, that, like I said.
What the tobacco thing is the issue.
Yes,
of the whole thing.
I could care less what the department heads want to do. If they don't want their employees smoking, that's them for it. But it for it to be a policy implemented across all employees, it did not come to the city council for approval.
Correct.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right, so on item 8F, is there anyone want to take action on that?
Well, let me ask you a question. With what I've read and what you've said and everything, and also Councilman Pierce, do you agree with what is in there? Do you find that to be a viable thing to add?
If we're going to discuss this.
Oh, you need a motion.
That's what I'm saying. So if we're going to bring this, if we're going to talk about this all as a whole, then we need to save it for that.
That's fine.
That amendment.
Okay, so
that coming up.
All right, then real quick then, Gilbert and the two chiefs, y'all have your own individual memorandums in place as to your employees concerning tobacco use?
Yes.
Okay. And so the action is up to y'all, and anything past that would be a grievance. So, yeah. Okay, I'm good with it. I see what you're saying there. Exactly.
Okay. All right. Item 9A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events and community interests. Councilmember Abadaka.
I was asked about the lot that's on the end of Gaiety, where the dead end is.
Mm-hmm.
I was asked about what's
going to
happen with that.
No, you asked a good question. You asked a really good question.
The light is out right now, yeah. And I guess we need to. I need to tell somebody about that.
Are you asking for an update on that?
Yes. And the lighting part too?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Wilson?
Yes, I have several things.
Okay, let me get my paper.
Okay. I was going to welcome the new employees, but they seem to have disappeared. Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Number one, on the hike and bike trail, I would like for all council members to receive the invoice of when it was ordered and when we received it, how much we paid for it, because I just think that we need to know that. I would also like the city manager to look into writing a grant for departments. Wouldn't it really be departments? For like the Kirby Senior Center, the Little League, where they can all apply for the $20,000 that comes around once a year and put it out where whatever divisions would like to apply for the $20,000.
Or requesting for a grant.
Well, yeah, for a request for grants.
Okay. Instead of just
giving it all to one person, maybe we can split it up and share it with some of the other groups in the city of Kirby.
Is that for organizations?
Organizations.
That are in the city of Kirby?
Thank you. And I would like to know what's going on with the orders of incorporation at the Senior Center. Can we have an update for that for next council? And then I would like the city manager to look into giving the Junior Police Academy and the Park and Recs for the Easter egg hunt $100 to $200 each, because you have a budget that you can give out money to, because I think it's sad that we have to put signs out asking for donations for candy, asking for donations for drinks, for this is for our city of Kirby, and it's for the people who live in the city, and I think that it's not going to need that much money to help with the organizations that's trying to do something to keep the kids off the streets. And so I'd like for that to be done. I know the police academy is what, next week? And then the parade the Easter egg hunt is what, the 24th. Let them have the money where they can purchase it without having to beg and borrow, because you keep going to the same people all the time and they're going to get tired of donating. And then, HEB, we beg and borrow HEB all the time. And eventually they're going to say, I'm tired of it. And I know that, we have it, so I hope y'all approve of that. That's it.
Okay. Councilmember Autridge?
I only have one thing. It's about the hike and bike trail. I want to look in to see if we're going to have mile markers on the trail. That's it.
Councilmember Lehman?
I'd like to have a discussion put on the agenda about the 18-wheeler truck traffic up and down Ackerman Road. If we end up passing that ordinance, we're going to have to stop that traffic on Ackerman Road, because those big trucks is what's tore up our Ackerman Road as it is. I can sit at La Villa's on a Friday morning and I can count a dozen 18-wheelers going back and forth on Ackerman Road, and they never get stopped. So, Chief, I know that's in your department, but I think we need to do something about it. We've got to stop it, because otherwise, if we put in a brand new road and they keep coming down that road, we're going to have the same problem we got right now. So I'd like to get that on the agenda to talk about it and discuss it, and let's see what we can do about it.
You want it on the next one or the next agenda?
That's fine.
March 22? Okay.
Because the people that I talk to about voting for the bond issue, the first thing that they bring up is, well, what are you going to do about all the traffic up and down Ackerman Road? You know, I can't answer it.
Okay.
That's it.
Right. Councilmember Grant.
Well, after reading that thing about talking about a bond issue, you can't hardly say anything. Boy, you're going to love this one, Mary. I was asked again about the property on Ben Zingelman and access, and did we ever decide to buy, sell, trade, or whatever. And this one person in particular, he showed interest in buying all of it. But because he comes and he takes his boat and wave runners, whatever you call them, up and down, and, you know, I mean, nobody's really said anything about it, but he just asked me, you know, am I going to be in trouble if I keep taking them out the back? And I said, well, it wasn't really says anything, but he said, you know, are they ever, does he want to sell it? What do they want to do with it? We kind of left it the last time open, right?
What part are we talking about?
The green strip. We talked about being a green, but by Siddons, it comes this way, that green. Oh,
right at the curve, sorry, right, we called it at Gaiety too, so sorry.
No, I know that too.
That's why it was because.
Because I know, did we not section that off? Divide it up, or did we figure anything?
We haven't, and since Councilmember Apodaca asked for that, like an update, maybe we can.
You know, don't you?
Well, the last thing that happened on the Benzingleman property is that council decided not to sell it, not to section it, to just maintain it as
Right. Now, let me ask you this question, and I'm just, and I don't know how, I don't really think the guy's breaking the law per se, because he wants, during, especially during the summertime, they go to the coast or they go anywhere. And the only way he can get his boat out is through that back gate. And he transgressed, whatever you want to call it, across there. Do we have a big problem with him doing that?
Okay.
Well, I would like to, because I don't see anything wrong. I mean, I've checked it. It's not torn up. It's not, you know, anything.
If we can put the same line item, then we
can. Yeah, please, just put it together.
We can just put it with Gaiety in that piece of it.
And just in case we haven't done this, I know, like, the city of San Antonio and almost every other city, and I don't think it's that much, is to register our logo as a trademark. I don't think we've done that and protected it. I don't think it's that expensive. And not that anybody would, again, use it, but that way permission would not have to be granted because it's protected. So, yeah, okay, can we look into that, please? And that's it. Thank you.
Do you want that as an agenda item, or you just want that just to come information?
Let me report back. I don't think that until it comes forward.
Okay.
Unless it's a huge amount of money, I don't think it is. Okay. Thank you.
Councilmember Pierce.
No, Mike just stole mine, so.
Okay.
Because he brought it up, and I didn't realize he was going to do, but yeah, the copyright and trademark figured.
Yeah.
Have that brought back.
Yeah.
In one of the meetings in March, so we can just discuss
see what the money
is and go for that. So I would like to have that put on the agenda. Yeah, that's the last meeting in March.
That'll work.
And thank you, everybody, for coming out.
All right, thank you, everybody, for coming out. Welcome to our new employees. I would like to see if we could get an update on the Ben Zingelman reconstruction project. I know TxDOT is still possibly dragging their feet, but if we can just get that, an update on that, if we can. Donations are being accepted at dispatch for the cases of water, boxes of Capri Sun, individually wrapped chips, individually wrapped snacks, and also the dollar Lunchables, now since we're so close, for the police academy, junior police academy, next week, the 12th through the 16th. The VFW is hosting an old-fashioned fish fry with sides of red potatoes and coleslaw on Fridays, March the 16th and March the 30th from 11 to 2 with a suggested donation of $8. They will deliver if delivery requirements are met, and you can call the VFW for more information. The Parks and Rec is accepting donations for plastic eggs and candy to fill the eggs for the Easter egg hunt on March 24th. The donations are taken here at City Hall from 8 to 5. Then there is Movie in the Park. That is also the Movie in the Park, which will start at the Easter egg hunt is at 6:30, and the Movie in the Park starts at 7:30. And the hike and bike trail ribbon cutting ceremony is Friday, March 16th at 11 a.m. Is that correct? Hasn't changed, correct? Okay. All right. Is there anything else before we go? Adjourned.
One's a year old and one of them is, well, no, I'm just saying.
Yeah.